Meeting will be held here with real joy to be. I'm late for a moment. I've looked forward to it for quite a while. We've prayed to God very, very much in reference to it. May I say this without ostentation? I'm not a conference speaker. I don't pretend to be. I just love the Lord and seek to serve my people, who are called Indians. I live in the southeastern sector of North Carolina. I've been laboring amidst them for some 15 years in the grace of God. God has brought mightily. Amidst them we have three assemblies amidst our own people at the present time. Vast opportunity amidst 20 to 30,000 people. It's our privilege to preach two back-at-arc sermons. The largest of our schools, three commencement addresses, as well as taking part in at least two junior-senior banquets. So we're quite a place under God amidst them. We'll value your prayer as we seek to labor here as well throughout the week. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 is an expression. We're not going to read it. We've been seeking for a theme. And I think perhaps our minds will center on these words found in Hebrews 12 verse 3 and Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Consider him that I may know him. I would like to read with you tonight from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. And we're going to seek to consider him in his unparalleled loveliness. John chapter 4, at verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. May the Lord richly bless, and I'm sure he will bless, the reading and the hearing of his precious and holy word. Throughout the past week, men have had their favorite candidates before the nation. There has been much in the way of eulogy. Great things have been said of them. They have been pictured to us as men that are needed to fill the breach that exists at the present, nationally and internationally. My refined words are said of us. Well, may God in his infinite wisdom and tender mercy give us the man that we need, for surely we need a man to fill the breach that has been effected by the power of evil. The inroads and the penetrations are deep indeed, and they are very broad. One wonders how much longer God is going to permit these things to continue. One wonders if the rapture of the church is not just before us. And surely, we will know him as the living God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We will know him as the altogether lovely one. We should point him up as the alone remedy for the conditions that prevail individually, collectively, nationally, and internationally. For every child of God knows without equivocation that alone, the alone remedy is Christ. And if it is either Christ or chaos. He is the only way back to God. And this is the solution of every problem for man to be brought to God. Are you glad you've been brought to God? I am. I'm so happy tonight that I know God as the living God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Yes, the children of Israel were to be brought up out of the land of Egypt, brought into the land of God's provision, and thus brought to God. I wonder if there's someone in the congregation tonight that knows not God in redeeming grace. You're still in nature's darkness, alienated from God by wicked works. Or if there's such a one, may it be that during these meetings, we're so able to present Christ to you and all of its glory and majesty and royalty and dignity and the beauty. Ah, there's none like him. No, there's none like him. The beauty that is upon him is unparalleled in its loveliness. Now it's easy for me to stand there before you and use these words and talk in glowing terms. But no doubt you wonder how Demas Brooks lives amidst his people in North Carolina. Well, he invites you to come down sometime and visit with us. We do so with much joy. Christ is, and I gather this from the hymn of another, and I do so because I believe we need it in these days, when Christ is put on the level with ordinary men. Peter had more sense than most people today. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles, one for thee. He did put the Lord first. But mom, how he is degraded and lowered in these days and times, even to the point of being the illegitimate son of some Roman soldier. May God cause the ire of every one of us and the fury and the wrath to arise in our bosoms whenever our Lord Jesus Christ is dragged down to the level of contemporary men. He is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. If he is not God, then I'm an idolater. And you are too. Because he is the center and the substance of everything for God and for man. So Christ is not a fragment of the divine, but the fullness of deity. Christ is not a temporary shadow, but the true substance. Christ is not a provisional makeshift, but a perfect manifestation. Christ is not a social organizer, but the Savior of mankind. Christ is not a figment of the reason, but a fountain of salvation. Do you know it? Are you saved? If you aren't saved, oh, may it be that during these meetings you really brought to God. The speaker professed to be saved at 14. He believed in his head, but it never reached his heart. But when I was about 25, and God dragged my knees down in the dust, in the misery of my sin, in remorse and anguish of heart and mind, because of the degradation of my life, I cried out to God for mercy, and tonight I can say it not only to my heart, but it has reached 4 feet more, and it's down in my feet, and we seek to walk it out in our shoe leather. Do you know anything about it? In this day of loose profession, I don't say these things to be critical, but as a challenge to your heart. For if there is anything worthwhile, it's being a real Christian. And this is a day when it's a challenge to a man's heart. We need men and women who have no saffron streak down the backbone. We need them with backbones like ramrods to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not many people are standing today for anything, and so they fall for everything. Unparalleled loveliness, you say? Yes. I want you to consider with me in this chapter these seven things. And we'll try not to be overly tiring. We'll do our utmost to let you go at the hour. This is a beautiful chapter to me. In the very beginning of it, you have the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ manifested. We said the Lord knew. And then it says Jesus made. So his deity is seen on the one hand, his humanity is presented on the other. And every instance that you have in the Bible where his humanity is set forth, you will find in that same place reference to his deity as well. When on the Lake of Galilee, he was asleep in the ship, manifesting his humanity. But he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. His deity is in evidence as well. Oh, my friend in the meeting, He is truly God, and he is truly man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would truly say with Thomas of old, my Lord and my God. Praise his holy name. Do you know him? If you know him not, may he become attractive to your own heart tonight. As first of all, we consider his devotion. I'm sure you've had it pointed out to you before, that in the fourth chapter of John, the curtains of the tabernacle are presented in their beauty as set forth in the true antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first instance, those unattractive curtains, the curtains of badger's skin, black. No beauty that we should desire him. It is seen in the weary Jew seated on Sychar's well that the woman of Samaria observed, dusty, tired, thirsty, seated on the well. A Jew to her, very unattractive. My friend, in anything, if you're here without Christ, is Christianity unattractive to you? You think it is a giving up rather than a receiving? This is the idea, the major portion of people, that Christianity is giving up. I have to give up this, give up that, give up the other. My friend, in anything, if I gave up anything, God has restored far more to me of that which is real and vital and satisfying. Do you know him as such a one? If you know him not, only enjoy it tonight. Salvation is not giving up, but receiving. Oh, how much I have received. May it not be unattractive to you. And then the second curtain, the curtain of ramskins dyed red, is seen in the expression, he must needs go through Samaria. This curtain depicts his devotion even unto death. The ram caught by his horns on the mount, used instead of Isaac, held by the very place of his power. So our Lord Jesus Christ was held on the cross of Calvary, not by Roman spears, not by the guard that was there, not by the Sanhedrin, not by the scribes and the Pharisees, not even by the nails, but he was held there and loved to your soul and mine, devoted even unto death. Then thirdly, the curtains of goat's hair are seen, for this is the garment of the clothing of the prophet, as he unclothed this poor sinner, that she might see herself in the presence of the living God. And this certainly, the self-righteous individual must necessarily see himself unclothed, naked before God. So as the prophet of God, he unclothed this poor woman that she might see her ruin, her lost condition. But thank God that she rejoiced, actually. She was glad of the unclothing. For at that same place, she was clothed upon with a garment fitted for the presence of God. Praise his name. She went away and left her with a pitcher because she had a well on the inside. Then perchance, she'd like for the Lord to have that drink that he requested. Finally, there is that beautiful curtain of fine, fine linen, evident in his own revelation of himself. I that speak unto thee am. I am. Thus the term for Jehovah of the Old Testament scriptures, and so we see the Lord Jesus Christ presented as Jehovah of the Old. I that speak unto thee am he. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, what unparalleled loveliness is presented in our worthy Lord Jesus Christ. My friend in the meeting, as a fellow child of God, are you attracted to Him to behold true beauty? Or as much as superficial today, it is merely skin deep, it is all put on. But here we see in Him those moral and spiritual perfections that are so beautiful to God. Oh, may they clothe you. May they clothe the speaker more and more as we journey from time to eternity. First of all, in His devotion, there is that must. He must needs go through Samaria. He has left Judea and left it finally. So far as any revelation is concerned, here is Joseph, a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The wall that hedged in the nation of Israel, the branches are running over the wall because they refuse God's fruitful bough. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 10, those who are sent out are definitely and distinctly commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ, go not in the way of the Gentiles, or in the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not in, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thus, my friend, in the meeting, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom is found both grace and truth. He goes in the way of the Samaritans. He must needs pass through Samaria. And thank God tonight He is passing this way once again. Who knows whether He'll be passing this way again after tonight or not. I thank God that on one occasion He must needs pass through Robeson County, where there was a vile sinner there that needed the mighty salvation that He had secured at Calvary's cross. Praise His name. His devotion evidence He must. Secondly, we could dwell on that at some length. If He has done so much for you, He has done so much for me, what is becoming to me as a child of God? To yield my all, spirit, soul, and body to Him without reservation. May it be that during these conference days, there is more and more the realization of what we owe to Him who gave His all to redeem us. His devotion, God would first of all, those words in Gethsemane's garden, when He took that cup His Father had prepared for Him and said, "Thy will be done." What devotion indeed. Here we see the burnt offering of Leviticus chapter 1. All the sins and fragrance to God. When the fire is placed there, the sacrifice on the fire, all is consumed and arises as a sweet odor, fragrance to the nostrils of the living God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in devotion to the uttermost, that He might save the uttermost. And that was me. Thank God He reached even to me. Are you glad you're saved, my friend? Are you really glad of it? You're not going to a lost eternity? But not only that matter, but that you're brought to God. Oh, may our hearts indeed flow outward and upward more and more as we await that moment when we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So Godward, Thy will be done. Manward, by these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Going from the lips of that matchless person, the altogether lovely one. What loveliness, my friend, in the meeting tonight is seen in him as he expresses this prayer, Godward, Father, forgive them. My, and in view of that tonight, I have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I don't teach people to go to God and ask for forgiveness, that is, saints. I tell them to thank God that they possess it already, to enjoy the fact of his forgiveness, but to confess the sin. Come face to face with God. Don't be about the bush. Father, I have sinned. Thank thee for the forgiveness that is mine. He is just and justifiably. He is also faithful and righteous to forgive. Faithful, yes. Faithful to that prayer on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive them. Righteous, because he has a righteous substitute. He never forgives just because you ask for forgiveness or I ask for forgiveness. Is that ground for the forgiveness of God? No, my friend. The ground is the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There could be no forgiveness. It must be paid for. It has been paid for in the blood of another. And tonight I revel in perfect forgiveness. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be forgiven. Not like some people in the earth who go to someone confessing and go back and do the same thing over again and come again with their confession. Sin is to be hated. God hates sin, my friend, whether in the sinner or the saint. He hates it. Thus his devotion is seen man with, Father, forgive them. Then church with, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word. Worldward? Ah, yes, my friend, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is he not lovely in his devotion? Praise his name, devoted even unto death. Secondly, his conversation. My, how lovely he is in his conversation. The psalmist in Psalm 45 speaks about those lips that have been anointed with grace. Luke chapter 4, they marvel at the gracious words that fell from his lips. And that woman in John chapter 8, who was taken in such a dastardly deed, what wondrous words, what gracious words, what precious language, how lovely he was to her when he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. My, what language. Have you heard him speak in these gracious tones? His conversation, ah yes, my friend, in this section of the word, this woman, an outcast, no doubt, of the city, seemingly so at least, comes at noontime to get her water. She must have used those cool hours of the morning. And there, she meets the Lord Jesus Christ. In her heart, disappointment, disillusionment, dissatisfaction, verily, verging on to despair. The Lord knew he would meet her there in that condition. And he had the solution to her problem. He has the solution to yours tonight. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, and my friend in the meeting, if he did not mean these words, he's the greatest hypocrite and braggart that ever walked across the sands of time. To say to this poor woman, in all of her sin and misery, I have that which will satisfy the longing of your bosom, the craving that is found there, the thirst of your life. To say it and not to mean it, what a dastardly deed. Ah, he is the Lord of glory. He is the fountain of life. He is the well. He has the well of springing water. He can satisfy that one. He has satisfied mine. I am satisfied with thee, or satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus. I am blessed.
Do you know that blessing tonight? Oh, I trust that you do as you sit here and consider Him, that we together may know Him, their ever height and depth. With the telescope or with the microscope, there are those unsearchable spaces that we may indeed exploit. We may explore for our joy, our delight, and our pleasure. Never thirst? No, never thirst again. What language! Precious indeed. How lovely then in His conversation. There is hope for the hopeless. There is fullness for emptiness. Riches for poverty. My, how good it is to know Him tonight in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. To know Him as Savior and as Lord. Aren't you glad to know Him, Dustin? Thirdly, He is lovely in His penetration. I thank God tonight I don't have to play the hypocrite. I thank God that He knows every corner, every crevice of my heart and of my life. I thank God for the knowledge of those eyes that blaze with fire. That intellect and perfect wisdom searches out the innermost recesses of the soul. And I am before Him and all that I am. Constantly, I ride along the road, I look up into His face and say, yes, Lord, that is exactly what I am. His penetration, oh, is lovely, indeed, in His discernment. He tells me exactly my need and then provides that need. He shows me my sinfulness and then provides cleansing for it. Praise His name. He reveals to me my emptiness and then provides all I need to fill an empty life. He shows me that all the wells, the cisterns of time, they can hold no water. They are broken cisterns. But ah, my friend, He is a well of living water. Do you know it? Do you really know it? If you know it not, will you not at this moment bow to Him who beholds your heart, your life, knows your thoughts afar off, knows the longings and the cravings, He knows the disappointments, every problem that's found there, He's perfectly aware of it. He has the solution. He has the answer. Oh, praise God, I know Him. The conscience is reached, the will is yielded, the heart is opened, the life is filled. Because of Him, penetration. My friend in the meeting, you who seek to reach others, if that conscience is not reached, if that will is not yielded, the heart will never be open. The life will never be filled. I care not for the hand raising, the card signing. There must be reality with God. And I'm afraid in these days that we live in, I say this carefully and I say it kindly, as a personal observation after 15 years of labor, up and down the hospital, the highway, the home, the hallway of the school, my observation is that if the conscience isn't reached, the will never be healed. And if the citadel of the life, the fortress of the life, is not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely and unconditionally, there is no life for God. For the heart is never really open, the life is never filled. And so you find them flitting from this place to that place, seeking something to satisfy a longing in the bosom that can never be satisfied apart from consider His penetration, the loveliness of it. Fourthly, there is a revelation, certainly. We rejoice that God does not merely take us down to the depths and leave us there. He does not reveal from God without providing a way out. Praise His name.
What a wonderful revelation when He reveals Himself. For He is the answer. His revelation is He reveals the Father. He reveals that the Father sees. Praise God. The Father saw me. The greatest ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ had to do with revealing the Father. Aren't you glad that you know God as Father? Marvelous grace of our loving Lord indeed. So His revelation of the Father and the Father seated. There is a new race. He speaks of Father. Thank God I'm in that race. I certainly am. I'm glad I've been taken out of a minority group that is oftentimes referred to as an inferiority group, an inferior group. And unfortunately, we develop inferiority. But I have been placed in a new race. Praise His name. New Father, new companion. My, what a delight it is to come up to Minneapolis and find so many in that race, and how they put their arms around an Indian and love him so. It's wonderful. Because they used to say that the only good Indians about were dead Indians. And I have to tell people that's exactly what I am. A dead Indian. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm in a new race, folks. Praise His name. You ask me what Indian tribe it is? I may tell you I'm not too interested in origins because I might be afraid to look too far. But I'm, praise God, that I know something about a destiny. Heaven is my home. Is that so with you? I hope it is. I truly do. New race? There is Father. Relationship is made known. There's a new place. The Spirit of God dwelling within us. We are worshipers of the living God. I have a new place before God. My, one time I had no standing. Now I stand perfectly in His presence. Accepted in the beloved. Can you add to that? You can. Justified freely by His grace indeed. Justified by the blood that was shed. Justified indeed as I behold Him seated at the right hand of God. That's my assurance that the work is done. I'm before God in all of His love in it. But there is a new disgrace too. Now you wonder. A new disgrace. And I want to suggest to you that the Lord Jesus said to this woman, neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. That whenever it comes to the matter of worshiping, it is not merely singing hymns, not merely reading the word, not merely praying, but worship, my friend, W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P, worship, that is worship. And the measure that you apprehend the worthiness of Jesus Christ, what He means to God, and come to God presenting Christ, in that measure alone do you or I worship. And we worship by the Spirit of God. Praise His name. Aren't you glad? But He said, neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. You arrive at the place, not geographically, but you arrive at that place morally and spiritually. Now, many of us talk about being there, but I'm afraid we've never arrived. I say that kindly to challenge your heart. Have you arrived at that place? Because that place is going to be little. There's not going to be many there. Because the presence of God is a thing not enjoyed by many women. They run away from it. The demands are too great. There's no place for sin there, there's no place for self there, and there's no place for society there. And the cross of Calvary ended sin, self, and the social question.
that social question, I realize the social problems that are in the earth, and where they don't want to receive a man because he isn't a Caucasian, I stay out, I try to. I realize I'm in a new race. I realize that heaven is my home, but I want to use wisdom in the earth. It's our business to reach men and women who are in nature's darkness and who do not understand. So there's a new disgrace. It's a disgrace to be a real child of God these days. As I told the folks over in Minneapolis, the dean of the college where I graduated found out I'd given myself to the work of the Lord, be associated with such a humble group of people have gathered at the Gospel Hall in Pembroke, North Carolina, with no salary at all, and I had all of those markings, according to them, of an individual who threw a lot for the race. He said, what kind of a fool is Venus Brooks in now? Well, I might have said to him, as that individual who had the placards on, sandwiched himself, you know, on the front he had, I'm a fool for Christ. On the back he has, who's the fool of you? I hope in some measure that I can glory in the cross of Calvary. I hope in some measure. That's his revelation, the Father speaking. Fifthly, and I'm going to close with this, I won't give you all seven of them tonight, maybe we'll give you a little more tomorrow morning if you like it. I hope you like it. I do. I enjoy these things very, very much. Speaking of the person of Christ, we cannot eulogize him enough. And you never will be rebuked for what you have to say and speaking well of the Son of God. We'll always stutter and stammer in trying to speak of him to God. For the end will never be reached. We shall throughout the unending ages of eternity praise him for all that he is in himself, for all that he has accomplished in redemption. We begin that song here on earth, do we not? His manifestation is lovely in manifesting himself. I, that speak unto thee, am he. He is altogether lovely in thee, unparalleled loveliness, manifested in his devotion, in his conversation, in his penetration, in his revelation, in his manifestation. And my friend, is coming a day when he will be manifested, and we are going to be manifested together with him, so that the eyes of an adoring universe, and this universe is full of fear, that God has created with a purpose to display his Son, enthroned in the midst of him, every intelligent creature to lift the voice in praise continually to the Son, to the glory of God forever. He who stooped to Calvary for me. He was Jehovah, the eternally self-existing God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the mediator, God and man. As God, perfectly comprehending all the requirements of the throne of God, the holiness and the majesty of that throne that I sinned against, man understanding perfectly all my needs, and he takes the hand of God and the hand of a poor old sinner, as it did at Sychar's well, and restored them